Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. In the beauty of the day, we come to worship the giver of all days. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us this morning, and especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending, we're pleased that you're here. And those of us who are here on a regular basis would like to come and greet you, shake your hand, welcome you. But if we don't get to you quickly enough, you come introduce yourselves to us, because we would love to know you and we would love for you to make a home here with us. One way to do that is by getting involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. And you can do that in part by looking at the bulletin insert. Everything on there is important, but I'm going to lift up just a few things. First of all, our great day of service is coming up on Saturday, March 8th. We'll gather at the church at 8 a.m. and then go out into the community and serve. If you'd like to learn more about it or sign up, there are sign-ups in Reed Hall this Sunday and next Sunday. And also, you can register online, so please take some time to do that. We have an all-church lunch today following this service in McWhorter Hall. You will get to meet the newest of our staff members, our church financial officer, Sandy Durbin. We're Delighted that Sandy has joined us, and hopefully you'll have a chance to come down and say hello to her. If you haven't, stop by the church sometime during the week and tell her hi and how much you appreciate the fact that she is in that position where she is. Ash Wednesday is coming up, and this church has a great tradition of entering into Ash Wednesday by way of Shrove Tuesday. We have a pancake supper at 5 p.m. and McWhorter Hall, and the folks who have been cooking the pancakes for several years now will be back again. If you've been here for that in the past, you will want to be back again. You can get your tickets in advance. And then that's followed by a jazz mass at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. If you've never attended a jazz mass, we have a New Orleans-style jazz band. We process with that band. We have Holy Communion. We have individual singers. We have prayers. It is a grand celebration and contrasts directly with the services of the next day, Ash Wednesday, that are very quiet and very solemn. And for me, at least, it's the perfect way of making that shift into the observance of Lent. So I hope you'll come on Shrove Tuesday, March 4th, and then back again on Ash Wednesday, March 5th, for one of the services on that day as well. Child care will be provided for ages 5 and under for this service. So this weekend has been a special weekend for the youth. They have been participating in the 30-hour famine, so I'm going to invite Janet, Ann, and Carly Horner to come up and tell you a little bit about what they've been doing and give a report on where they are in terms of the money they've raised for hunger.
This weekend, the youth group participated in the 30-hour famine, which is a program run by World Vision, which is an organization that helps kids all around the world that are hungry or undernourished and gives them food and helps them get healthy again. So during the 30-hour famine, the youth group doesn't eat for 30 hours. And so we're raising awareness for this, and we're raising money and just trying to get everyone on board.
A couple things that we participated in is Room in the Inn, where we went and we prepared and served a meal to homeless men and women. And we also went to Kroger and divided up into groups. And each group was assigned a family and a budget. And you had to buy enough food for a family for 3 days. And then that food basket would be taken to a food pantry where the family could come and pick it up.
Also, we were each given a picture of a child from a different part around the world that was hungry and undernourished that World Vision had helped. So, for example, I had a picture of a young girl named Comfort and her daughter, Emanuela. Our church goal was to raise $12,600. So far, we've raised $9,000. It's only $35 to feed a child for a month. It's $420 to feed a child for a year. So please come and give money and help. You can do so until March 9th.
If you would like to make a check, you can make it payable to World Vision, and you can put it in the offering this morning, or you can give it to a youth member, and they're outside in Reed Hall. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Listen. Do you hear it? It's the breath of God breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. The Spirit of God is in this place as we speak.
Oh, be joyful in the Lord. Oh, be joyful in the Lord, all ye lands. Oh, be joyful, 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 all ye lands.
Thank you.
We gather here in anticipation. Who comes among us when we least expect it?
Who invites us to wrestle with our questions
and calls us each by name?
Let us worship God together.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are tired, who are worn out from carrying heavy burdens. Put down the heavy load that you are carrying, and you will find rest for your souls." Now we gather our confessions together and offer them to God. Loving God, you have called us into community, taught us your ways, and blessed us with abundant life. But we often turn away from you. We take the easy way out rather than following you. We quarrel with each other, letting our differences divide us. We hold tight to resentments, denying ourselves the blessings of forgiveness and reconciliation. We cling to petty jealousies, feeling we deserve more than we have. Forgive us when we wander from your love. Draw us into community with each other, that we may grow in faithfulness and work together in peace. Friends, hear these words of assurance. God is working in us, nurturing our growth and showing us the ways that lead to life. God is working in us, reconciling us to one another and teaching us the paths of love. God is working in us, hearing our confessions, forgiving our disobedience, and blessing us in love. Thanks be to God.
Oh.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Epistle to the Corinthians. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If you think that you are wise in this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast about human leaders, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future. All belong to you. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. These are the words of God for the people of God.
Please be seated, and if there are youngsters present who would like to come down and sit with me here, you're welcome to come do that. We had lots at the first service. We had a visiting choir of youngsters from Belmont United Methodist Church, and then our youngsters went over to Belmont to sing in their 10:30 service. So here comes a brave story. Listener, thank you, dear. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. It's okay, even if it's just you and me, all right? When I hear this part of the Oh, here we go. Here are a couple of other children. You may need to make them behave. Would you watch them? Is that okay? When I hear this particular passage in this particular chapter from St. Paul, it reminds me of a story I heard when I was a little bitty boy. The three little pigs. Because in another part of this, St. Paul talks about how you can gather different things to build with. He mentions gold and silver all the way down to straw. And we know that in the three little pigs, you know the story already, I don't have to tell you, but in the three little pigs, one of the pigs builds a house out of straw. And when the wolf comes and huffs and puffs, he blows the house down. So that little pig has to run and find shelter with the pig who built with sticks. Well, then the wolf comes to the house built with sticks and blows that house down, and both little pigs have to go and live with the pig that built with bricks. Well, now, the big bad wolf cannot huff and puff enough to blow that brick house down, right? Well, St. Paul is trying to say the same thing, except he's saying that we are the house, all of us, not just the building. It's not a building made of straw or even stone like ours, that we are God's house, and that Jesus is the foundation, that hard surface that we sit on, that we can depend on to hold us up. And that means that whenever anybody comes here, if something sad happens or if they get hurt in some way, then we are the place people will come to feel safe. We are the temple of God's Spirit, Paul says, a place to worship. And God's Spirit is a spirit that welcomes everybody, and especially those who are hurt or those who don't feel safe. We try to heal their hurts and make them feel safe again. Because you see, that surface we build on is the love of God in Jesus. And the only blocks we have to build with are the blocks of the love that God gives us. So, if you, any of you, are ever hurt or if you are sad, you can always come here and know that there are people here who will help surround you with that love. And the cool thing is, when other people are hurt or sad, we get to be those people who love them. That's pretty cool, huh? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us the foundation of your love in Jesus. Thank you for making us your building, your temple, and giving us the building blocks of love to build with, but most especially your Spirit that you breathe into us so that we might love others and show them the loving light of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much for coming down. And thanks to the big kids, too. I don't know if you've ever lived in a house without a foundation. Sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? But I have. When I was 6 years old, my father bought a trailer, a house trailer, in Arizona. And it was not on a foundation. It was on tires and wheels. And when it was stationary, we would stack cinder blocks under it so that it would rest on the cinder blocks. But there was no foundation. In fact, it was made so it would be movable. My dad bought it when we were living in Arizona, hitched it to his 1953 Chevrolet pickup, and hauled it all the way back to Tennessee, where again we set it up on those cinder blocks. Can you imagine what would happen if a tornado would come along? Not only no basement, no foundation. St. Paul is talking about this foundation that he's building because it's so important. The foundation he builds, he says, is Jesus. Remember a couple of weeks ago he said, I determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified? Not Christ and him resurrected, Christ and him crucified. The one who has gone through the very worst that human beings can contrive to torture another person and yet came out absorbing all of that violence and all of that meanness and taking it to the grave and leaving it there. The one who died asking forgiveness for the people who nailed him there. That's our foundation. And the Corinthians are quarreling about all these petty things, which just proves how immature they are. They are like a trailer with no foundation, a good strong wind like we had the other night. Just blow it away. But you see, Paul laid the foundation, and others built on that foundation. And he talks about the various materials that could be used to build on that foundation. You can have gold or silver, all the way to wood and straw. And when the time of testing, the time of fire comes along, now, in the Three Little Pigs, of course, it's huffing and puffing and blowing one's house down that you have to be afraid of. The image that Paul uses is fire. Last week, of course, he talked about us being a field. This week, he's talking about us being God's building. Not the structure, us. We are the building, just like we are the field. In a little while, we will become the body of Christ, as he describes it. So we are this house. And when the time of testing, the time of fire comes, he says that fire has two functions. One is a refining function. If it's gold or silver, the fire refines it. It burns away all the dross, the stuff that's not necessary. It purifies it. On the other hand, if it's straw or wood, the house burns down. We've all known times of fire, haven't we? A family member or close friend dies, and that deep grief feels like the house is burning down around us. A relationship we thought would never end ends, and it feels like the house is burning down around us. A catastrophe happens in the community, and we see the devastation of the lives of other people. And in that deep grief, it feels like sometimes the whole world is burning down around us. Well, this is nothing new. John Wesley knew what that was like literally. When he was 5 years old, the rectory in which he and his family lived caught fire. The roof caught fire. Now, there were some nasty rumors about some of his father's parishioners setting the rectory on fire. Although, I can't imagine a congregation not liking their pastor, can you? I don't believe those rumors. We're going to discount those. In any case, in the midst of the fire, the entire family was able to escape except for John. He's on the second floor. The stairs going up to the second floor are ablaze. The roof is ablaze above him. He cannot get out without someone's help. And so those same parishioners, this is one reason I discount that story, some of those same parishioners stand on each other's shoulders, one on another, to build a ladder to reach up to get this 5-year-old boy and literally pull him out of the fire as the house burns down around him. His mother, Susanna, said, quoting the prophet Zechariah, "He was a brand plucked from the burning. He was set apart for some special mission of God, so that the fire that burned the house down, that made him be one who had just escaped with his life, also set him apart for something very special." When we go through these times of burning, we can either become stronger and more compassionate, or we can become hateful and bitter. And we've probably seen each of those responses. The house we build out of ourselves on the foundation of Jesus Christ is a house where people can come and have their hurts healed. Those who have had the houses burned down around them can come to a safe place. Sometimes they come and they find that they indeed, having gone through this terrible experience, are a brand plucked from the burning and set apart for greater service to God and to others. At the same time that it seems that all is lost, that very experience of suffering purifies, refines us as followers of Jesus. And this is the house, the temple of God's Holy Spirit, where we can come and experience that healing and experience that welcome and experience that support. A number of years ago, I used to teach elder hostels. This was probably 20, 25 years ago. And the people who came, I mean, of course, the name was Elder Hostel, were people my age now and older. And I often taught a course on memoir, family story. In one of those courses, a woman who was in her 80s told a story from her childhood. She said that while her parents were out working around her farm, her brothers, her older brothers, decided it would be a fun thing to take the broom and stick it in the fire. So they would put it past the hearth, stick it in the fire, and then they would put it out. And they would catch the broom on fire again, they would put it out. Well, they finally tired of this little game and left, but she thought it looked like fun, so she stuck it in the fire. But she was just a teeny girl. She couldn't get it out. It continued to blaze. She didn't know what to do. She did the only thing she could think of. She hid it in the closet, and the entire house burned down. Well, she escaped, and everyone else was already out of the house. She told her father, finally confessing and ratting out her brothers at the same time. And her father wrote a letter to his sister, their aunt, sometime later, informing her about this. He said, "We have had a very fortunate occasion. The house burned to the ground, and all are safe." Now, he could have put a very different spin on that, couldn't he? Most of us would see that as a terrible tragedy, except for that last brief phrase, "all are safe." Paul is talking about God building a house in which all are safe. The people who have been pushed away and rejected out there are welcomed here. The people who feel unsafe out in the world feel safe here. We've created that space. The people who are broken and hurt, who feel like the houses have burned down around them, will find here a place of healing and hope and compassion and perhaps even a calling from God. We are God's house. We're not just God's house. We are God's holy temple. You can't imagine what that meant in Paul's day. There weren't temples for the Jewish people on every hillside. Now, the pagans had temples pretty much on every hillside. There was one temple in all the world where you could go and worship. And Paul is saying, we are like that temple. In the old tent of meeting, it was the Ark of the Covenant that meant that God was present. In the temple, it was the Holy of Holies that meant that God was present. Among us, God is present. God's Spirit is with us. And we gather here to remind ourselves of that. So it really doesn't matter who the preacher was when you first came. Preachers come and go. Right? That's what he says. Paul, Apollos, Cephas. No. It doesn't matter what preacher comes and goes. Even life or death, the present or the future, all of that belongs to us. Why? Because we belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. What a remarkable thing. He's giving us our genealogy here, okay? It's a very brief and simple genealogy. We don't have to be afraid when the house seems like it's burning down. Or if you read the news or look at the news, it feels like the whole world is burning down around us. Because you see, we have a house on a foundation. And we are all a part of that house. And no one can huff and puff and blow it down. And even if the fire takes it away, that same fire will refine us, call us to a greater service. Why? Well, we belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. And there is no better news that I can tell you than that. Thanks be to God. One way we remind ourselves to whom we belong and of our genealogy is through statements of faith, creeds. I invite you to stand with me as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal. Join with me as we affirm our faith using the words given us by the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new the works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve our brothers, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
West End truly welcomes all who are gathered here for worship with us today. If you're a guest, we welcome you especially, and we invite you to join us out the doors to your right following the service to pick up a loaf of bread for the journey, or come down to the all-church lunch in McWhorter Hall directly under the sanctuary and meet some people, sit down, and enjoy a meal. If you have not yet passed the attendance pads down your pew, can you do so at this time and look at the names that are written on there when it comes back by? Because knowing the names and getting to know people in worship is part of building the body of Christ known as West End. In the pew racks directly in front of you, you'll find a gray card. One side is for prayer concerns. If you write your prayer concerns on there, you put them in the offering plate when it comes around. We gather those, we pray as a pastoral staff for them, and the certain ones that are public are shared with the congregation in prayer circles within the church. If you have any information or questions, the other side of that gray card is a comment card. You can write questions or comments for staff or lay leadership and put those in the offering plate when it comes around in just a moment. We celebrate with Ashley and Todd Grooms, who welcome their son, Maximus Wyman Grooms, who was born February 11th. We are excited for Ashley and Todd. And our condolences are expressed to Fern Ritchie, whose mother passed away yesterday in Birmingham, Alabama, after a very long illness. The services will be held in Birmingham on Tuesday at Canterbury United Methodist Church. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. May the Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of love and God of light, new every morning is your love for all of us. Each day you call us to participate in your work through this blessed community. Continue to create in us a shared identity as the body of Christ. Stir in us a desire to better love and serve you and our neighbor in all that we do. Empower us to appreciate the miracles we witness every day in creation and be with us as we work to better care for the natural world. Use us as channels of grace to those who need it most. Enlighten us to the bigger picture so that we might see beyond our differences to make decisions that affirm life and model your love in the world. We all hurt, doubt, and struggle at times to let go of the things keeping us from fully connecting to you and to one another. Comfort us and heal the wounds we all hold, and awaken us to your mystery and compassionate presence within the people gathered here. Your love is all we need. Open us to its power as we pray the words Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. One great way to love God and love neighbor is by fully participating in the community known as West End. I invite you now to further participate by bringing and offering your gifts and offerings. invite the congregation to be seated. As those being presented for membership make their way to the front, and as they're coming forward, I want to remind everyone that on Tuesday, March the 4th, we will have our annual Shrove Tuesday Jazz Mass to help us all transition into the period of Lent. Just before that will be our all-church pancake supper. Y'all can slide on down here, David. And tickets will be sold for the pancake supper down at the all-church lunch, but they're also available online, and they'll be on sale at Reed Hall next Sunday. Proceeds for that dinner go to help fund our Habitat for Humanity build. So I appreciate everyone considering that. Allow me to introduce to you the people being presented for membership. We'll begin with David and Kay Joyner. David and Kay have been worshiping with us for a few months, and they seem to have found a nice community in the Saints and Sinners Sunday School class. And I believe Kay might be the saint, and David is the, well, we're glad you're here. Next, I'd like to introduce to you Carissa Shockley and Jessica Page. Carissa is from Huntsville, Alabama, and she's a graduate student at Trevecca. And we have Jessica is an audio engineer with CMT, and she's transferring her membership from Eagle Nazarene Church in Eagle, Idaho. Welcome. They're looking to start a new Sunday school class or resurrect the Reconciling Journey Sunday school class in the not-too-distant future. Next, we have Taylor Hutchins. Taylor is a Williamson County school teacher, and she is excited to be getting married in the not-too-distant future. So we're getting to know Taylor through there. Next, we have Courtney Holliday. At the end, Courtney is an attorney who works with the Treasury Department in the state of Tennessee, and she is transferring from First United Methodist Church, Tupelo, Mississippi. Welcome. Of course, she's been in town for a while. We have one question to ask all of those coming from other faith traditions, which include you three, Carissa, Jesse, and Taylor, excuse me. This question is, very simply, as a member of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If you will, say, I will. Perfect. Now, this question is for everyone here. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, a congregation called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ through your participation in its ministries? By your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, that in all things God will be glorified through Jesus Christ. If you will, say, I will. Great. Will the congregation please stand and join me in affirming our newest members? Brothers and sisters, do all in your power to welcome these people and increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
Thanks for all that God has already given you, and welcome you in Christian love as members to Lifestand United Methodist Church. As members together in the body of Christ, we renew our covenant to pray faithfully in the life and the church of Christ's Holy Church. With our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, and in all things God be glorified through Jesus Christ.
May the God of all grace strengthen you by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that we may be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ all of our days. Amen. I want to encourage anyone who wants to join us for the all-church lunch downstairs, please do so. We have some new church employees, church financial officer, Sandy Durbin's going to be downstairs, as well as Lynn McCleary, the new executive director of the day school. So we look forward to anybody who wants to come downstairs. If you didn't make reservations, we invite you to come anyway. We have never run out of food yet, so I'm sure we'll be okay. We can go ahead and head out.
Thank you.
Now I send you forth as God's house to share God's love wherever you go, serving God and your neighbor in all that you do, knowing that we belong to Christ and Christ belongs to God and the Spirit of God breathes through us. Go in peace.
God be with you.